It's time for the Packer Outright Opinion Show with the Haifman Brothers. These brothers grew up in Packer country and are passionate, lifelong Packers fans. They tell it like they see it, keep things informative and entertaining, and have some fun along the way.
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bring your questions and comments and enjoy your time with the Haifman Brothers.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
The Packers did it again. They won. They won again. They squeaked out. Squeaky squeak. Last two games won by a total of 5 points, but W is a W, right? And this one had to go to extra time, too.
Well, the thing that was interesting to me is after watching the game back again, it wasn't nearly as bad as everybody seems to think and talk that it is. Like, all I've heard is, and the other thing that's really weird is this. If Aaron Rodgers' two halves were flipped, if he started off hot and ended up bad, everybody would be talking about Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
But instead, everybody's talking about the run defense for some unknown reason because they're giving up a whole bunch of yards per carry. Well, okay. If Rodgers doesn't throw that pick, six, and if Kenny Clark doesn't have a penalty called on him after Reed and Preston get a sack together, it would have been second and 16 from the 35-yard line. I'm thinking the Packers are pretty good there. But instead, because of Kenny Clark's penalty, it was first and 10 from the 50, which ended up leading to the, you know, delay of game, not delay of game touchdown that happened. So, I mean, really, the Packers defense only gave up 10 points. And if they would have had a big lead, they wouldn't have to worry about the run. So I don't know if it's a combination of, hey, the Packers defense sucks at run defense, or if it's just the Patriots put six offensive linemen in there and the Packers, you know, didn't combat that with putting more guys in inside, but they didn't want to give up a big play to a team that really doesn't have big play capabilities. So I totally understand what Joe Barry was doing, and he's been getting ripped on all week from everybody under the sun, and I don't quite get it. I mean, take away the pick six, Packers win convincingly. Take away the Kenny Clark penalty, Packers destroy them on defense, and I'll give up 10 points. So I don't understand it. Let's just be cool, everybody. And, you know, watching the game back, yeah. I mean, there's some issues, okay? I think Devondre Campbell is not getting off blocks at all.
What? Wasn't he all pro Devondre Campbell last year?
Yeah, well, he's not playing that way. And he's doing some weird, I don't know what's going on with that.
Dean Lowry got
destroyed on a couple running plays, like just... Like, there's one play where I think he gets shoved 6 yards in the back, like 6 yards back. Now he gets double teamed.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, and how he kept his feet, I don't know. Because I thought for sure if you get blown back six yards, it wasn't 6 feet, it was 6 yards. If you get blown 6 yards, you think you lose your feet, but he didn't. So I don't know. That's just from what I'm hearing from all the reporters, everybody's talking about how the defense, you know, what happened? Second half of the defense. Well, they gave up 14 points. Or not even. I don't even know what it was. Yeah, 14 points the second half. Or no. Yeah, I don't even know.
Don't you think people are... people are freaking out because it was a rookie third-string quarterback that they end up playing against pretty much most of the game. So everybody's like, but that rookie third-string quarterback, he's got some talent. You know, the kid threw it all over the joint in college. And he's and on top of that, the Patriots are committed to the run. And not many NFL teams commit to the run, but they do, and the Bears did. So that's part of the reason why they gave so many rushing yards against those teams, because those teams were like, we're running the ball and we're going to keep running the ball, and if you stick with it, a lot of times it works.
Yeah, well, Corey here is in the comments is saying Sean Gary is looking like the best player on D, and I mean, he looked dominating. He dominated that right tackle when he went up against. I don't know who this right tackle is, but he blew past him with speed. He ran over him with power.
Don't forget Rasul.
Well, Douglas is my favorite player. I think he's the best overall player, but Gary is got more talent, I think, than Rasul Douglas has.
And just remember, neither one of those guys are captains, by the way.
Well, they're the two captains. They're the true captains of the defense. I mean, I don't Kenny Clark, or I don't even know who was the captain.
Let's talk Kenny Clark.
Listen, just so you know, I watched the tape again. Kenny Clark was not as bad as I thought.
Really?
He actually did okay.
Because to me, it seemed like he got blocked the whole game. Like
it did seem that way, but after watching the all 22,
Okay. Okay.
He got off blocks.
Did he make any tackles or any plays?
He made the first tackle of the game, I think, actually. But after that, no. But I mean, it wasn't like he was getting destroyed by one guy all the time. Like, I thought that's what was happening, because you didn't see him make any plays.
Mm-hmm.
But he had a pressure on the very last play of the game on defense, you know, and that helped. I mean, I'll give him credit. Usually, you know me, I was hard on Kenny Clark all last season.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and everybody's saying how great he is, and I don't think he's that great. I think he's good, but he had a solid game. He was better than Dean Lowry, and he's way better than T.J. Slayton. T.J. Slayton is the problem to me. T.J. Slayton is the guy who, he's supposed to be the Gilbert Brown. He's supposed to be the big guy who's immovable and is supposed to take on double teams and, you know what I mean, and help out, and he's not doing that. And I know he's a second-year guy and all this kind of stuff, but when you're 360 pounds and your job is to just be a big, fat dude who just takes on double teams and doesn't move, and he's not doing that. He's not even doing that, you know?
No, and they put him, like, in run sets, they put him right in the middle. He's the nose, right, because he's the biggest guy. Or he'll be just off, like he'll be in the, you know, one side of the center's shoulder, you know, that guard center gap. And he gets pushed around a lot. So I don't see him doing what they need him to do. And I know there were other guys, let's even say in this preseason, that performed better than him, but they didn't make the team or aren't on the 53, and he is. So,
yeah. I mean, Chris Slayton deserves to play over him. I'm sorry. It's just the truth. And Jaron Reed has been getting some people have been talking smack about him this week, which I don't understand. I watched the tape back, and there's times where he splits double teams and gets in the backfield off a double team. And maybe he doesn't make the tackle. And the problem is the other guys around him are getting creamed. So then it's a big run. Okay. But is he supposed to just sit there and take the double team and then not do anything? Because then it would still be a big run. Like, part of him getting through the double team is that he's, you know, making plays. Or he's like, or at least he's getting the backfield and messing stuff up. And he has been doing that. So, I don't know. I was happy with him. To be honest, the guys who are looking kind of scary is Dean Lowry. I will say this. Dean Lowry has good pursuit when he's coming off the ball. Like, if the play is on the other side, he always hustles to the play. So, problem is sometimes he's so tall, I think they get underneath. He's 6'6", right? They get underneath him, and they just, once somebody's underneath him in the running game, it's over. He can't do anything.
And he has a very long torso, which I know you would think, does that really matter? But it's even a bigger target for blockers, right? Because his legs are short. His torso is that big, so it's easier to get underneath him because he's got such a long torso. So he's an interesting guy. Again, a guy that's solid, a guy that can be effective in a certain number of snaps. He's not a, you know, 80% down player, should never be that guy. But he's smart. He's heady. He can do some things. This game, he had a rough game. I'm glad to hear Kenny Clark wasn't as bad as I thought watching the game. That's good to hear. I do want to go back to Corey's question. Corey, about Rashawn Gary, so does it make you – are you kind of disappointed that we weren't able to see him in this capacity right out of the gate? Like, why they didn't just unleash him on the freaking NFL? And maybe he still had some stuff to learn and stuff to do, but he was drafted number 12. We had Za'Darius Smith, so he played, and, you know, Gary got limited snaps that first year, and that kind of slowed him down and whatever. One thing about Gary that we didn't see from Za'Darius Smith, except a couple times against the Packers, was on running plays that go away from him.
Yeah, he had a really good pursuit.
The end guy unblocked. He crashes hard, and I sent a message about that. I'm like, Gary crashes hard on those plays. So when he's unblocked, yes, you have outside contain. You're the end guy on the line. But if you recognize the ball's away from you, you can crash hard. And if the offense leaves that guy unblocked because basically they figure the timing of the play, the running back's going to get to the hole before that guy can actually pursue and get down the line and get to the running back. But Rashawn Gary's showing you, you might need to you might need to chip off before you go in the opposite direction, because he is pursuing hard, crashing hard, and making tackles in the backfield.
Yeah. I mean, there was a couple of plays like that. And also, you know, Preston's not too bad at that either sometimes, but he's a little bit slower and he doesn't quite get there.
He doesn't necessarily crash quite as much. He's a little more make sure of my responsibility. He doesn't recognize it as quick maybe. So,
and Corey's bringing up the Adrian Amos injury, which I have to be honest, I don't think Adrian Amos is really a box tackling safety. He never has been since he's been here. He's just a solid guy who's okay and he knows what's up, you know? And after watching the film, I thought Rudy Ford made more plays than Adrian Amos usually makes in a game, to be quite honest. Rudy Ford was everywhere. He was all over the place. The only thing that sucked is he wasn't able to play special teams then because they took him off the gunning responsibilities and they gave that to Jean Charles, and he didn't have the same effect that Rudy Ford has on the gunning plays, because Rudy Ford was forced to play every single down at strong safety then. So that's the problem with Amos getting hurt, was that Rudy Ford wasn't able to be our flyer or gunner or whatever on special teams, who I brought up last week as my, you know, silent but deadly player of the game. It was Rudy Ford. And he came out and played great, I thought. So I don't think Amos going down was that big of a hairy deal. As far as defense goes.
Yeah.
And watching back the film, it wasn't that terrible. The touchdown pass was a miscommunication, and it had something to do with, I've got the video for later, but it's got something to do with Campbell and Nixon, where they kind of just didn't back up. They didn't back up far enough in their zones, and they're kind of both in the same spot, and neither of them were in any place to make a play. And I think one of those two is the guy who was in the wrong spot. I don't know who or what or when, but that's, and then, you know, there's wide open, and that's just the way it goes. We watched it against the Vikings a whole bunch.
Mm-hmm.
So they play this zone defense, and then these teams do these crossing patterns, and, you know, they just let a guy go. They just don't. I don't know. It's weird.
On the other side, we're going to come back and we'll talk more about the unsung hero of the game of the week. We call it something different. Payfin Bros, Packer Outright Opinions. Stay strong and face each day. Welcome back into our show, Packer Outright Opinions, with Hafeman Bros. As we continue on, I do have something here now that we have to talk about. So we mentioned some things about the defense. We mentioned some things about other things before we get to the rest. And then we'll move on to finish up the show as we look ahead to the next opponent. But before we get to all that, we must get to the unsung hero of the game, which, of course, as we call it, it's a little bit different.
And now it's time for the Hafeman Bros Silent but Deadly Player of the Week.
All right, so what do we got here, Ben? Silent but Deadly Player of the Game. Last time you went first, this time I will go first.
All right.
And it's a guy we talked about very briefly, but a guy that I really like what he's doing. Not Jerron Reed, like a lot of people said early on. It's Jerron Reed. And Jerron rhymes with Darren, is doing pretty well. He's splitting double teams. He's making penetration on plays when he can. He's beaten one-on-ones. He's a force, I think, against the pass. He's getting pushed. He's pushing the pocket pretty regularly. And I like the way he's playing. He's a great addition. I like what he's doing from his opportunities and also his spot on the field. And the other thing he does for a big guy is he pursues. He pursues, and it's helped him make some plays. It's also helped to cut back lanes for running backs at times to shield him in. So even though people are upset and saying the run defense is so bad, well, it ain't because of him. Number 90 is doing pretty damn good most of the time. Jerron Reed, my silent but deadly player of the game.
And he got a sack taken away from him because Kenny Clark's dumb penalty.
That's right. Ooh.
So that sucks for him. All right. Well, my silent but deadly player of the game is he wasn't very silent. He had probably the most flashy play of the game, to be quite honest. But I'm calling him the silent deadly player of the game because of what he did when he wasn't in that play. Because watching the film back, I saw a guy who I hate to say this. I love Alan Lazard. A lot of people say Alan Lazard is the best blocking wide receiver and the Packers have, and he was one of the best blocking receivers in the NFL. I think the Packers actually have a better blocking receiver on their team right now, and he's number 9. Christian Watson, when he blocks a guy, he stays blocking that guy. That guy don't get off the block. He doesn't get beat. And that's my sign of a deadly player of the game. Because he had a couple really good blocks on long Aaron Jones runs to the outside. And then, of course, he also had his huge, 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 awesome speed end around for the touchdown. And they tried that again later on, but the defense of the Patriots, like, yeah, we're not falling for this again. We're not letting him, get scot-free like that one more time. We're keeping our eyes on this guy after that touchdown. So my side of the player of the game, Christian Watson, I think nobody's talking about him because, Dobbs is getting all the pub because he's getting all the catches and all this kind of stuff. And Alan Lazard had a great game, by the way. I think Alan Lazard had an awesome game. Randall Cobb has been killing it on third down. He's like third down the machine right now. And everybody's talking about those three guys. But there's more to being a receiver than just catching the ball. It's also blocking. It's also just being a decoy sometimes. And his speed is a silent weapon that the Packers need to use. He needs to be on the field. And if you ask me, that's silent but deadly, Christian Watson.
I think you need to try to throw it to him once in a while, too. I mean, I understand, it takes a while to get out of the doghouse, but geez Louise, man, the guy's a weapon. But apparently 12 will only hand it off to him. He won't trust him to, or maybe it's a short throw behind the line of scrimmage or what have you, but. Or those what should be handoffs with an Aaron Rodgers like backs up real quick so he can just shovel it forward and get credit for the passing yards and completion, which I still think is not the play design. I think he impromptus that so he can get another completion, but maybe that's just me. What do you think about that? No? Yes? I think sure. So. Okay. Well, anyway, I think it's very good. Jaron Reed.
Okay.
And Christian Watson. Silent but deadly. Players of the week from Hayford Bros. Okay, so we have, we got another comment here. We've got Corey. What's Corey saying? Corey says the running game has been more explosive with Lazard blocking on the outside. Ooh, Corey has been watching and paying attention. So that's different, right? Because a lot of times Lazard got stuck in blocking in line or even almost at the tight end spot at times over recent years. And I know he still does some of that, but we've seen tape when Lazard can get on a safety or corners or whatever, he can really hold them down. Like he can do some really good things. He can block linebackers well too, for the most part. But Alan Lazard is a important player on this team and he's been blocking well. Ben, so, and Corey and Lee and anybody else, all we heard about, and again, we heard more crap this week because OBJ is like, oh my gosh, Aaron Rodgers is amazing, and I want to go play for the Packers. And then rumors about OBJ coming to the – and we heard all the offseason guys about this high-priced veteran and this high-priced free agent and this guy and that guy. And all we're telling you is we don't need him.
We don't need him.
The receivers are doing pretty darn good.
And I just want to say, last week I had a rant at the start of our radio show about Romeo Dobbs. He tried to talk about how good he was, and I kind of went nuts saying he's just a guy. You know what? He's more than just a guy. He's
pretty good.
And I'm going to say this, too. That touchdown that they turned away, I watched Devontae Adams catch 3 touchdowns in the last 2 years where he caught the ball, and then a guy smacked it out of his hand within 1 second, and they still called it a touchdown. And one time he caught the ball, went to the ground out of bounds, and lost the ball, and they still called it a touchdown. So because Devontae Adams has got the Devontae Adams name, it counts as a touchdown. But because Romeo Dobbs is a rookie, it's not a touchdown when he hits the ground. That was a completed catch. He caught the ball. It went under his arm. He went to the ground, and then the ground caused the fumble. Okay? That's what it was. And you can be like, oh, he didn't make a football move. It's like, why would he make a football move when he's in the end zone? He caught it under his arm, 2 feet down, knee down, elbow down, ball comes out. I'm sorry, but touchdown. And his touchdown that actually did count reminded me a lot of Double D. where he just jumps in the air and turns around. Like, remember, Donald Driver had the ability to twist his body in all kinds of weird ways while he was in the air. And that was an awesome play by Dobbs. And like, there hasn't been a guy like that since Double D, where, you know, Donald Driver, you can jump up, twist, turn, do all kinds of cool stuff. I'm telling you, Dobbs, you know who he reminds me of? I'm going to say this. He's like Ray Allen from the NBA. He's just smooth. Everything he does is smooth. Everything he does is, you know, it's not like flashy, but he has got enough wiggle to get to where he needs to get to. He catches the ball pretty well. He has, you know, he had the fumble, but that was a terrible pass by Rodgers. That's 2 weeks in a row. Rodgers has terrible pass that, you know, guy fumbles it or whatever. But I'm just telling you, between Dobbs, Watson with his speed, Randall Cobb on third down, Alan Lazard has been solid and awesome. Like, he had some awesome catch in this game. I mean, just those four guys. That's all you really need at wide receiver. We don't need OBJ. We don't. Please don't sign him, Goody. Please don't.
Absolutely not. We don't need him. It is time to take a quick break again. I'll be back here in just a bit. Haven Bros, Packer Outright Opinions. We will get into the trip to London, and we'll also get into our beef for this week and a couple other things too. So Mom also says she agrees it was a touchdown, and Mom's always right. We always know that. Coming back here with our big piece of the show. It is Ben's beef. It's up next. I told you, Ben, I told you that Mom had a beef. And one of these weeks, Mom's going to call in with her beef. Now, she wanted to go by. I'm like, she's like, well, I can't say I'm your mom on the radio. If it's during the radio show, you know.
Well, and be, I was like, be Hane Jafman.
Well, she talked about being Jane from Casco. She was going to like really disguise it. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, just be mom. Just be, you know, come on. Like, you'd probably help us out. If our mom calls the show, people like to hear from Mom. And Mom was kind of fired up and energized and talking about, she uses, you know, one of her key phrases that she often uses. So, you know, I mean, like, I think people like it. So I think Mom can get a beef one of these weeks too. But this week, it is Ben's beef. It's beef time. The weekly beef from Hafen Bros.
Man, I got a beef to pick with you.
You want some beef or what?
Yo, what's your beef?
Come on, man.
Okay. It is time for the beef of the week. Beef of the week? I don't know. I'm still not set on exactly what to say or what to call it. But it's time for Ben to take over the show and give us his beef for this week from this past week's game, or maybe just a beef that's been hanging around for a while. Is it like an old stinky beef, Ben, or is it a recent beef? What is it for you?
I don't know. I think it might've been expired, you know,
expired.
And it's been sitting in the fridge for a long time. It's got some mold on it, but it's still accountable. It's still something that happens. I'm going to ask you a question. What is in common between all these players I'm going to name? Are you ready? Devontae Adams. Elton Jenkins, Kenny Clark, Jair Alexander, Josh Myers, Devondre Campbell, Adrian Amos. Tell me something that's a common denominator with all those players I just named.
Adrian Amos. Amos threw me off. I thought I was on to something.
Sorry.
Okay, I'm still going to go with my initial thought. My initial thought was overhyped.
Exactly. But not overhyped by fans. Not overhyped by media outlets, overhyped by the Green Bay Packers and Green Bay Packer local reporters. This is my beef. There is no possible way, no possible way in the history of all time that one team could have the best cornerback in the NFL and the best left tackle in the NFL and the best quarterback in the NFL and the best guard who can switch and play tackle in the NFL and one of the and the best inside linebacker in the NFL and the best defensive tackle not named Aaron Donald in the NFL and one of the best safeties in the NFL who doesn't seem to ever do anything, but he's solid, but he's one of the best there in the NFL. And of course, Devontae Adams, the best receiver in the NFL for the longest time, even though he just got every target. There's no way that they could all be on one team. Yet that's all we hear about as fans. And unfortunately, 90% of Packer fans aren't like us, who look at the film, who study things, who look up all the different stats and the PFF grades and all this kind of junk to find out whether guys are actually really good or not. They just go with what they hear. So when someone says, well, he's the best cornerback in the NFL. He's the best wide receiver in the NFL. He's the best guard in the NFL. He's the best, I mean, all the, over and over again. And that's what they're reporting over and over again. And that's what the team says. And I don't blame a team. I mean, if you're a team, you're not going to be like, yeah, this guy stinks. No, you're not going to say that, right? But if you're a reporter, your job is to tell the truth, okay? Tell the truth. How can the Packers defense look just as good, actually better last year, with Za'Darius Smith not playing at all? I thought he was supposed to be so great, right? That's all we heard was how great he was. All we heard was how Jaire Alexander is the best cornerback in the NFL, yet the Packers defense was playing better without those two players last year. Devontae Adams, greatest wide receiver in the NFL. Really? No. And the reason why I bring all this stuff up is it comes down to one thing that we talked about all offseason. We brought it up last week. And now again this week, finally after the game, everybody's talking about it. It's the Elgton Jenkins. That's what I'm going to with the beef, okay? It's a long beef, but it ends with, once again, Elgton Jenkins, he's so good. He can play, I mean, he can play anywhere on the line. I mean, when you have a guy like Elgton Jenkins, you can just place him out there anywhere, and he's great. Is he really? No. We've been talking about it all offseason. We said, please, don't put him at right tackle. I'd rather see Yash at right tackle. I'd rather see Royce at right tackle. Royce is a tackle, not a guard. And you can watch the film. Watch the film. He's much better at tackle than he is at guard. Also, true. Zach Tom is a right tackle, not Elgton Jenkins. And I've heard people like Aaron Nagler, for instance. Mm. And he says, you know, I don't know why, you know, Elgton had his first two games are pretty rough. But this last game, I watched it back. And, okay, yeah, sure, he had some trouble in pass protection, but he was doing great in the running game. Like, his run blocking was unstoppable. Okay, that sounds like a guard to me, isn't it? Doesn't a guard block in the running game more? Isn't, like, if you have a guard, isn't he supposed to be a better run blocker than a pass blocker? Yes, especially when he's your last line of defense on the end of the line to protect your quarterback. Let's have a good run blocker over there. Not a good pass blocker, but a good run blocker. And yeah, maybe his injury has slowed him down, and that may be the case. Okay, even more reason to play him at guard. When the guy played guard, he was a Pro Bowl guard. Why would you take a guy who is one of the best at his position and put him in a position where he's average or below average at best? It is dumb. And I want to turn it over to you, because you just said you read an article from Bill Huber. And what did Bill Huber say that the Packers are going to do?
Oh, Bill Huber. Oh, gosh.
It's not his fault.
No,
this
it's
is
not.
The Packers have said.
Bill Huber's what is Bill Huber's fault is, you know, when he stumbles around, bumbles around trying to ask a question, nobody knows what the hell he's talking about. But I mean, your argument is strong. Why the Packers why are they so set on this? Elgton Jenkins is elite everywhere. Here's what they say though. Let's take a look at this article.
This is what I'm talking about, Bill Huber.
Packers sticking with Alpha Jenkins at right tackle. The Green Bay Packers want their best five linemen on the field, which they repeatedly say they want their linemen on the field. Elgton Jenkins is the best right tackle, offensive coordinator Adam Stanovich said. Elgton Jenkins, here, onto the article from Bill Huber. Elgton Jenkins has been the Green Bay Packers' starting right tackle, is the starting right tackle, and will continue to be the starting right tackle, period. Okay, offensive coordinator Adam Stanovich couldn't have been clearer after Wednesday's practice, the first of this of two this week before flying to London to face the New York Giants. Jenkins will stick at right tackle and not move back to guard. And Yosh will provide valuable insurance rather than playing on the damn field. I mean, rather than taking over at right tackle. Stanovich, quote, "You're always looking to put your best five out there. And right now, I think Elton's the best at right tackle."
That actually, what? That sentence actually doesn't make sense. He says, put your best five out there, but Elton's the best at right tackle. No, he is not. Yosh is. Elton is one of the best five offensive linemen on the team, yes. Yeah, and I don't care if he's the best at right tackle. He's better at guard.
And he's not the best at right tackle.
Okay, he's not. But the difference between Yosh and Elton at right tackle is probably like minuscule. The difference between Elton and Runyon or Elton and Royce is probably monstrous at guard. It's not even hard to figure out. These guys are so stubborn. I don't understand. That's the
what
beef.
It is.
The beef is, why do you, it's like bashing your head against the wall or insanity, right? Let's do the same thing and expect something different to happen is insanity, right? Well, they're insane. They're insane to do this. You can't say you're going to put your best five out there and then put a guy who's one of the best in the whole NFL at tackle and have him sitting on the bench. It's dumb.
You talked about how Yosh is ranked through the first few games. Like, he's up there. He's up to in the top 20, right? He's at top 18 after the first couple weeks. Why don't you want that guy on the field? It doesn't make sense. Here, let's a couple more quotes from Stanovich. Because one thing Bill Huber can do is get quotes and put them out for people to read. He can put a decent article together. More from Stanovich after he has said that stupid line that doesn't make sense and contradicts itself. Then he says, for him, it's the challenge of left tackle or right tackle. You're going to be playing against the best D lineman on every team. Those edge guys. He's an alpha. He's a dog. And he's going to approach it every week. He wants that on his shoulders. Well, he is not in charge of the offensive line. I don't care what he wants. You, Adam Stanovich, and Butkus need to make the decisions at who are the best five guys. And we're sick of hearing you say you want the best five guys every stinking week. When you're clearly not trying to put your best five out there. So some teams do this. Let's go over this real quick. Some teams say these guys are guards. This guy's a center. These guys are tackles, right? And then they play those guys and they practice those spots and that's where they stay. Other teams, the Packers, say we're drafting all these guys and we want guys to learn, cross train, play different spots, be versatile, blah, 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 blah. But we want to get our best five out there. That's why we do it this way. That's what they say, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why they don't just say, this guy's just a guard. This guy's just a tackle. Yosh is he is in your top three offensive linemen. No one can argue that.
He's better than Runyon. He's better than Royce. And he's better than Myers, period. He might even be better than Jenkins at this point.
He is better than Jenkins, too, in my estimation. But some people argue that and say he's not. Fine, he's still in your top three, and you're going to not have him play? And you're going to stick this guy out of position who struggled, wasn't that good when he played there in the past in the first place, even before he had his injury, but he's really struggling now, and you're going to keep sticking him out there? Come on, man. Come on. And we talked about it. The line is the biggest question mark of this team. What's going to ultimately determine success this season if the Packers want to get to the ultimate goal? If the line is good enough, they'll do it. If the line's not good enough, forget it. I didn't mean to hijack your beef there, but Jesus. No, and why do we got to talk about it every freaking week? I'm sorry to talk about the offensive line again, but the offensive line is the biggest problem and the biggest thing they need to get right. And right now, they're making the wrong decisions again and again and again, just like they did in last year's playoff game after Yosh played great and they're like, get to the playoffs. Oh, no, let's put our experienced tackles out there. Billy Turner will hold it down.
Yeah, Billy Turner stinks.
Dude.
All I know is this. Frustrating. We've been talking about this for months. And now finally everybody's talking about it. Like after the game, all of a sudden everybody's like, oh my God, like Elton Jenkins just looked terrible out there. They look terrible out there. Like, what are they doing? Maybe they should not start him. And it's not hard. We saw it because we knew what we were to look for. Now, finally, every other Packer fan has seen it. Everybody's seen it. On the while you're watching the game, they saw him get destroyed over and over again. And yeah, Judon's awesome. He is awesome. And that's even more reason why you don't want him out there. If you know he's awesome, put somebody out there who's used to blocking a guy who's fast and quick. Elgton Jenkins doesn't have the quickest feet in the world. He got blown past. Royce Newman's got quicker feet than Elgton Jenkins. But I'd rather have Yash.
How many times we got to say it before they get the message? Somebody get it right, Green Bay Packers. We'll be back in just a bit for more. Upcoming game, it's a different time zone, it's a different country, it's a different accent, not the Wisconsin accent.
They're the last team to go overseas.
It's crazy, right? They avoided it
out
so
of all the teams. Well, that's because they didn't want to have
they want to give up a home game.
The other thing was other teams didn't want to give up the Packers coming to their stadium because it sells out, so they're like, no, we want the money, so we are not going to give up that Packer game. But it's exciting. It's cool. I'm excited to, wake up at 8:30, watch the game at 8:30 or 8 o'clock. Wake up at 8 o'clock or whatever it is. And I'm sure for guys like Balazs and other people over, across in Europe and stuff, they're probably maybe they care, maybe they don't care. But it's and I don't know how hard it is to get over there. I know it's probably like driving from here to Ohio or something. It's not that
you got to drive on the wrong side of the road and the wrong side of the car.
Yeah, but those guys know how to do that. It's not that hard for them. It's hard for us because we're morons. But for them, they're used to it. They know how to do it.
Well, I think when I was in Holland, they drove on they didn't drive on the wrong side of the car or the wrong side of the road.
Really?
Yeah. So it's like England. They want to be different. That's why they didn't switch to the metric system. That's why they still went with feet. And everybody else is like, we're going to metric because it makes more sense and it works. And numbers are add up correctly. And we're like, no, England, we're sticking with feet. What was that? Wasn't it like the size of some king's foot was the original reason why it's called a foot?
Yeah.
Screws up all the math. If you ever had to do carpentry work and I'm crappy at math and I got to do those like super minute fractional measurements, like that's where I always screw up my carpentry stuff. That's why I had to be a rough carpenter and not a finished carpenter because stupid feet. Metric system would have been easier, but no. Jolly old England.
That's weird.
It's jolly That's old weird. England, bro. Jolly old England.
All I don't know. I'm excited. I'm excited to see this game. Too. The Giants are 3-1.
Let's see.
I've seen some.
Lee points out tailgating with coffee and breakfast instead of burgers and beers.
I'm still going to drink soda because I don't like coffee. So I'll still drink soda and I'll probably still have Doritos or something because I don't care what time it is. I'll eat Doritos and soda any time of the day. Sorry.
This will be the first time I'm having my coffee during the Packer game. So that will be kind of different. Yeah, it's good. I like it.
Well, let's get into the game a little bit. I mean, we saw the
Giants. 3-1, 2-3.
They're not that great.
I know they're not very good.
I think I've seen all their games somehow for some reason. I don't know why, but they've always been on TV around by me for some unknown reason. They kind of stink. Their quarterbacks both got hurt the last game. It was crazy. They were running like Wildcat with Saquon Barkley in the backfield and Daniel Jones, who hurt his foot. He couldn't like run, so he had him standing over at a wide receiver, but he just stood there for a while after Tyrod Taylor got a concussion. And because he was their backup, came in after Jones got hurt. I don't know if Jones is ready to go this week or if Tyrod Taylor passed the concussion protocol and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. But their receivers, they signed Kenny Galladay or whatever his name is, who used to be a Lion. And from last year and this year, the new coaching staff and him have not gotten along. Like he doesn't even get in the game. He gets all whiny and he's dropping passes left and right. And they don't even play him anymore. Like he's not even active for this week.
And they had injuries to multiple, like three other receivers already. Shepherd had that terrible injury. Guy Wandale got hurt.
Yeah. So they're decimated at receiver. Like if anybody should get OBJ, it's the Giants should get him back because they got nobody at receiver, but they won't obviously because of the whole mess that happened with him. But But that's the thing. And guess who they're in? Saquon Barkley's back and he's healthy and he looks like Saquon Barkley from 4 years ago. You know, and yeah. It's kind of scary. And everybody's talking about the Packers' run defense. And that's why we talked about at the start of the show. And yeah, okay, we're scared about that a little bit. But that's really all they got, you know?
Yeah.
So if we can just hone in on that and be smart and play together and maybe get some beef out there. And some people have brought up the case of a couple of years back when we played the Titans and everybody kept saying, oh, Derrick Henry's going to run all over us. And then guess what? The entire game, we played three defensive linemen the entire game, no matter what type of guys they put in there. They smacked them, they held up, and they did a great job. So, and then the Giants' defense is not that great. They're not that fast. They're not that great at covering guys. I don't think it's going to be an issue. They should cream them. Let's go.
They really should. The variables are they're playing in a totally different weird time, different country, different field, all that sort of stuff. But it shouldn't matter. The Packers should win this game handily. If they don't, I think what's going to have to happen is probably you might hear something sort of like this.
So hot. Whoa.
Okay, you forgot the second part of that. Want to touch the hiney? You forgot that part.
So hot.
Anyway, we were talking at work today. We were talking about Bradley Whitford because, you know, a bunch of people had met him at different times and all this sort of stuff. And, you know, and he was in, of course, Billy Madison.
Yeah, his balls, were weird. His balls were weird looking.
The star of Billy Madison. Radio, he was the star of Billy Madison.
Well, sort of. I watched a really cool, this is a tangent, dueling tangents, like apparently heads up to those guys.
Yeah.
I saw, we were watching something, I think my mom and dad were here visiting and it was Bradley Whitford and he was doing like a thing about his history of his family or whatever. And they were going through the Civil War and all this stuff. And he was going to all these different places, find out what his family did and his great, 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 great grandpa and his grandpa's brothers and all this kind of, and it was a really cool, it was like an hour long show about him going through all the stuff. And it was cool. I watched the whole thing, me and mom and dad and, you know, Bradley Whitford. And it was kind of cool. So heads up.
It was cool. Yeah. He was tracking like the,
oh, you saw it too.
Yeah, I did. It was awesome. Yeah. Very cool. Anyway, Bradley Whitford from Wisconsin.
You know, yeah, from Wisconsin.
Wisconsin treasures out there.
Tony Shalhoub. Wisconsin treasure.
Wisconsin treasure. Tom Wolpat. What else you got?
J.J. Watt. T.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt had some crazy like heart thing and then got his heart shocked back into rhythm or something and then went and played. I don't know. It's crazy, man.
They're crazy.
And Tom Brady is probably getting a divorce. There's all the updates around the NFL as we wrap it up. Okay, so that's why he's playing so bad.
Well, yeah, anyway. He said, he's like, people, you remember his press conference when they asked him why he had to take off for that whole week? And he was like, yeah, you know, sometimes you go through stuff and it sucks and blah, blah, blah. Well, now we know why.
Yeah.
And that would suck too. Aaron Rodgers is never going to get a divorce because nobody will marry him. Oh, did I say that? Sorry.
All because Brady just never wants to retire, but it's fine. All right, whatever. His first love is football. He'll keep it that way.
Giants-Packers.
Giants-Packers, final scores. Sorry we didn't cover it that well, but it's over in jolly old England, and we'll have a good time to talk about it next week. Giants-Packers, who wins, Ben?
Packers. It's not even going to be close.
What do you got for a score?
35-10.
35-10, Green Bay Packers. That's a good score. I like it. I think I'm going to go 34-20. So Packers win again. They will be moving on to 4-1. They will be officially number one in the division because somehow the Vikings will lose or something to that effect.
And possibly number one in the entire NFL, in the history of the NFL. Right now they're tied with the Bears with the most wins of all time, 785 or something like that. So if they win and the Bears lose, Packers will be number one alone, most wins in the history of NFL all time.
Packer outright opinions and facts here on our show.